The gang is all here. We got Lillian, we got Kimmy, we got Titus and Jacqueline for season 4, episodes 3-6 of The Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt. Kimmy meets a man, Lillian gets a new job, and we have so many pop culture references, you're not going to know what to do. So stay tuned.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Unbreakable, they alive, damn it. It's a miracle.
I mean, we get to see our homies who sing the song in these episodes, so that was a great flashback. Love this song. Welcome, everybody. It's your favorite new panel on a Sunday night. Mm-hmm. We're with AfterBuzz TV's Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt After Show, covering season 4, episodes 4, 5, and 6. Sorry, got a little tongue-tied.
Got it.
You know, I'm just a little emotional because it's the final season, so, you know, just a little tongue-tied. It's okay. Thank you, ladies. Thank you. My name is Sahai. I'm your host this evening, and I have a lovely panel. Please introduce yourself.
Yes, what's up, guys? My name is Candace Cruz.
Hi, guys. I'm Laura L. Thomas.
Hey, guys. I'm Caroline Thayer.
So, ladies, these are the last three until we see them again in, what, January. So, what were your thoughts on these last three episodes?
I didn't want them to be over. Like, it just went by so fast.
Yeah, and I think part of it is because they're shorter episodes now. And so I feel like I got less Kimmy than I wanted. Yeah. Less Titus, less Jacqueline. I was really wanting more, so.
Yeah.
What'd you think, Caroline?
Oh, man. I actually think I liked the second half of the season, or the second half of the first part of the season a lot more. Mm. I think there was a lot of interesting twists, especially in that last episode, that are going to play out in the latter half of the season.
Yeah,
I agree.
It was interesting. I think this show is so smart yet so funny, and that's what I love about it. And that's it was the fact that they brought up these issues that we're seeing with, you know, sexism, workplace sexual harassment in such a smart and savvy way. It was like it made me a little sad that I know that it's going to end eventually, but let's, you know, reminisce while we can. We see Kimmy going out of town. She goes to Pittsburgh. You know, Jacqueline, Lillian is actually happy for her because Kimmy needs to get her mind off of things. Mm.
Mm-hmm.
She meets a man on this trip.
Oh, yes.
She had an encounter.
He was very attractive, man.
I was just happy that she was like, good job, Kimmy. You know, I was like,
and
I said,
she goes for it.
She does. Like I said before, earlier in our previous episode, that I want Kimmy to find love, and I thought this was her chance. But just like my dating life, you think something's going to happen, and it doesn't.
Right there with you,
okay,
sister.
I mean,
amen. Timing is everything. I said it last time. I'll say it again.
All right. You. Well, you already have a husband that adores you and a baby.
And
so.
Now a baby a year later. Candace, do you have anything going on in the dating department since last year?
Negative. I've had a lot of stories in between the last year.
Here.
But nothing solid. So.
See?
I've
had a lot of marriage in the last year, but no stories. So,
we'll just blend together and make perfect.
Oh my gosh.
Kimmy had a hell of a story to tell. And I have to say, I loved the little play on dating life in general.
Yes.
With this and a lot of the people doing this and swiping left and right. And Kimmy not being the tech savvy person that she is.
Right.
And it seems that this guy isn't, but now I don't really know if I believe any of it. I feel like he's just like a slick. I've had a lot of those stories with this.
He has a Hotmail account.
Okay.
Raise your hand if you have a Hotmail account.
Or I still have my old one.
Do you judge people when you hear that they have a Hotmail account?
No.
I do. My junk mail.
I do. If you're like my mom's age and my mom's about to be 60, then it's cool. But if you're younger and you
but
still have
But then what are you supposed to have? Gmail? Is that only the only acceptable?
I hate Yahoo Mail. No offense to Yahoo. So sorry.
Wait, for
I just
example.
Like the design.
We all have iPhones, right? So it's like there are certain things that culturally everybody does, and I think having a Gmail account is just one of those things now.
Well, it's so easy.
Yeah.
Right.
So easy. It's so attainable.
To some people, but to Kimmy and Danford, know, they just didn't understand, and they were able to bond over that. I love the fact that Lillian came on this trip with her, and as an older person, I don't know if you noticed, like with your parents, like with my mom, sometimes it's hard for her. I have to take a few minutes to explain things to her, and Lillian was also like, hey, you guys should be interacting with each other, not on your phones. And I just it speaks to the generational gap with technology.
Sure. Does your mom do this when she's FaceTiming you? Sorry, Mom, but she does this. And I'm like, Mom, I see up your nostrils. Can you just hold it up here?
No, my mom does this.
Or they hold it up to your ear and you're like, I see the inside of your earlobe. Can you?
I know. You know, my mom is Jamaican, so she texts me in like traditional patois. So that's like just the highlight for me because like I can hear her accent as as I'm reading it. So that's funny to me. But we also see Kimi upset about this documentary about the Reverend. You know, she's trying to get House Flicks to remove it. And she's like, I don't want to see this anymore. Yep. But it's like the gift that keeps on giving. And it comes back to her when the DJ at this event recognizes her. Did you guys expect that to happen?
I knew something was going to happen.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I did. I guess I wasn't super surprised by it, but it made for a fun moment.
It did.
And the twist of him being upset at her.
Right. These guys, like, really...
They twist it.
Speaking of guys, because I want to get into that, and I wanted to ask you ladies something, because we see in this episode the gentleman who is an advocate for the Reverend. His name was...
Fingers.
Fran.
Fran. Bobby Moynihan's character.
I love from SNL.
I love him, but the character.
The character is
insane. So what did you ladies think about his statement that, you know, men are under attack and men are actually the ones that need support? Are you coughing? Are you okay? Would you like some water here?
The best moment, I think, was definitely when Kimmy put him in his place. And she's like, it is not easy, breezy, beautiful cover girl.
Yes. Yes.
And I was like, thank you, Kimmy Schmidt. Thank you for putting that out there. Because life is, you know, I'm sorry. Everyone has their own situation, right. And everyone comes from a different background, but I think that was very unfair for Fran to say.
Yeah.
Well, I get in a perspective of the white male always being privileged all their life, and then all of a sudden it's being revoked with everything that we've already talked about with the climate of sexual harassment, with people having to adjust their tone, with all the other things, with, you know, we talked about racism and everything, like they're feeling under attack, which is, I find, BS, because now they're just realizing what everybody else in their life has been experiencing. So it's just really funny. I really like the play on it, but it makes people realize how stupid they actually sound sometimes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think if nothing else, it starts holding people accountable for their actions, for their words. And I think, you know, I do think in a lot of ways, I need to formulate on this for 1 second. Yeah. So we'll move on and then I'll come back.
Yeah, I needed to...
There's something that I want to say and I don't know exactly how to phrase it yet, so we'll come back to that.
But it was just interesting for me to see him. I was like, every time he would say his complaints, I'm like, why are you complaining again? I don't understand. But I was trying to see where he was coming from. But there are people that feel the way he does, and that's what I appreciated about them bringing it up. Because there are men that feel like, hey, all the things have changed. Now women are so outspoken. The scene when Kimmy was entering the room and he was like, excuse me, men first. You know, it was just very interesting because he really felt strongly that men were under attack.
I think it plays to a level of ignorance that's happening. There we go. That's what I think it is. Because I don't necessarily think that these men that are behaving this way are always bad men.
Right.
I think they're ignorant men.
Yeah.
And I think that's what it was playing to in the episode. Was not putting men under attack or not, you know, putting them under a microscope. Mm-hmm. It was just kind of poking fun at the fact that a lot of guys really think this way and really don't know how their actions are wrong, you know? And
now, I have a question for you as a new mom and you have a little boy.
I do.
How are you going to raise him?
Oh, this is a great question.
You know, because we see Kimmy wanting to, you know, affect the way young men learn. So for you as a new mom, what are some of the things you're going to teach your young son about interacting with women?
Very quickly, I feel very privileged to be having a son at this time. I think in a lot of ways, you know, I was convinced that I was having a girl. So when I found out it was a boy, I was like, oh, what do I do with a boy? And then I realized it was this insane responsibility and privilege that I had that I get to now teach this man how to be a man, how to be a man that respects women, how to be a man that also knows how to be strong and weak. Do you know what I mean? Like, knows how to be strong and stand up for himself and stand up for the people that he loves, and also know how to be vulnerable and let a woman take care of him.
This is an A-plus mom over here.
Such a gift.
I mean, it really is. It's a true gift. So I'll take it. I like it.
Great job, mom. Great job.
That is a big conversation, though, nowadays of like, how do you raise boys in a Me Too world?
Yeah.
Because that is a thing as well. Because not just, and girls alike.
Yeah.
Because having to navigate, like, not automatically putting us on the defense, which I think a lot of us were raised under, of like automatically, you know, Prince Charming, and also being at the defense of like, always be aware and like of your surroundings. How do you raise a woman to still be empowered but not on the defense?
You know, I'm listening to Steve Harvey's Act Like a Lady, Think Like a Man, and he made a good statement. He was like, as women, we do have to learn that it's okay if you expect a gentleman to treat you like a lady.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Guys, real men should want to pay for you to show you that this is what they have to offer. It's not that you're a gold digger. Every woman isn't a gold digger, although he did admit there are women that are like that, but every woman isn't a gold digger, as you would have as rap songs sometimes would have you think. So
chivalry is not dead, gentlemen.
No, it's not. But then also there's a responsibility on women too to not emasculate our men at the same time. You know, while we are having an opportunity that that has exceeded really any other opportunity that we've ever really faced in history, I feel like we as women also have a responsibility to show up for our men, to show up for the men in our society, to not emasculate their role, because I think that the role that they play in society is really important as long as they respect it.
Agreed.
You know? Yes,
you know, Lillian was loving all the men at
the
conference.
Yes, she was.
Lillian went there with the mission. Did she accomplish it?
Yes, she did. with more than one person.
Yes, she did.
But that's what I loved about Lillian in this episode, to see a older woman who was very sexual. Mm-hmm. Now, it made me think, at what age do you think people stop being sexually active? Because Lillian, what would we say? How old do we think she is? Like,
I think she's in her 60s.
Yeah, I would say 60s, right?
60s or 70s,
Yeah, because she was talking about having if you were a 26-year-old Jamaican child in a couple episodes.
Oh, yeah.
She is old enough to have a 26-year-old
Jamaican child.
So,
yeah. But at what age do you think people stop?
I don't really want to think about this, to be quite frank with you.
I mean, I hope it doesn't ever stop.
That's right.
Because the thing is like, that ageism is another conversation.
Exactly.
Because a lot of people automatically think that once you get to a certain point, you're out of your sexual prime, and that you're not allowed to fall in love, and that you're not allowed to have X, Y, and Z.
Exactly.
When that's not true, because you always feel young in your mind.
Yep.
The outside just changes.
Yeah.
I mean, come back and ask me when I'm 60, and then I'll probably tell you the same thing.
Well, at least she didn't hook up with Chet, because the companion hologram for elderly therapy.
That
because
be a little complicated.
You know, she was looking at him like a snack, like he was an option. Mm-hmm. But she got real man instead of a hologram man. What were you gonna say, Caroline?
Oh, I just think that, like, go her, and also the fact that she was super excited about the possibility of an orgy, she was not just going after one man,
right?
But she had a mission to get several.
Yeah.
And that whole episode, like, scene where she basically goes into a conference room and is, like, the keynote speaker.
Hilarious.
So funny.
But I loved her message. Like, she was basically telling everyone, get off your phones and interact. Like, yes, there are nerds, or as Titus called them, dweebs, when he had his flat top, the hair killed me.
So
Titus's hair in high school was a flat top, and he was a jock, ironically.
And a bully.
Right.
But, and straight.
Quote unquote, waiting to come out. But Lillian was like, basically, like, get off your phones, interact. You guys, you're young. You should be having the time of your life. And I think for single people who are now forced to go online, it's a bit tricky. So she's a call to interact face to face was really nice to hear from her.
Yeah. I love someone who is completely unapologetically themselves, and that's what Lillian represents in this cast to me. It's just somebody who is not afraid to be themselves,
which is why I'm still very bitter they killed off Artie. I really thought that they were a wonderful match.
Do we want to take a moment of silence for Artie? Are you would you okay?
Just pause.
They did. They did have like a
that
nice
was a
little
short moment of silence.
Well, no, because I just wanted to say, like, to Artie's Artie's legacy does live on because, as we see, we do see him in, I think, the first episode and also the last episode.
Yes, we see him in the last episode.
He's also living very deep within some of those gentlemen that purchased him
for
a lofty price as well.
At that special club. So, you know, Kimmy disrupts the paradigm in episode 4. And then in episode 5, Kimmy and the Beast, we see Titus as a director, which was amazing. I loved it. He has grown so much in these episodes. Mm-hmm. Like, remember Titus had no job. He was depressed. Now he's out in these streets doing these random, those scenes that were in the documentary that he didn't even know what they were for until he watched it.
He was like, oh, that's what they were for.
Because I was like, going to turn into a porno or not?
When he said I thought the funniest part is when he was Kimmy. And he's like, I didn't know in the time. When he was like,
they told us we could keep the wigs.
That's all he cared about.
Which he needs. I mean, he needs more of course. You know,
we all like options here. But yes. At first I was like, what are these things about? And so to see the fact that this documentary that we saw in the last episode 3 was something that they were sitting at home watching, it all made sense then. But in this play, Titus gets to direct children. His interactions with them were a little inappropriate, but we get to see him grow as a director. Kimmy, we also see her live out her dreams later on in the episode of being in the play.
I know.
She was so excited.
So excited.
I know.
And then Lillian and Jacqueline with this whole ticket scam. Okay, first of all, I think this is where we also see the Mimi come back. Our friend Mimi, who is Jacqueline's assistant.
Oh, yes. She's an eccentric Mimi.
Yes. She was in, I think, first episode and last episode.
Yes. And Mimi was in the first episode of this season?
Like, very, very briefly. Oh, okay. But then she's definitely in the sixth episode. Yeah, she has a little preface to Zan.
Which a little Mimi goes a long way, so I wasn't mad about it.
I was so happy to see Mimi back.
And her crazy hair.
I like her in doses.
Exactly. That's how
I think that's probably how Jacqueline likes her.
Exactly. Exactly. But Jacqueline, by this time, her business is growing. You know, she is getting to be a legitimate manager for Titus, getting her 10%. Mm-hmm. You know, now Titus has this job with the school. But they decide, you know what, we're going to make some money with this whole ticket scam. I mean, so it made me think, have you guys ever had a situation where your parents did not show up to a school event for you? And how did it make you feel? Like, I'll start. My mom forgot to pick me up from school once.
As
everybody.
It's like a rite of passage.
Okay, I'm not alone in that one. No. Okay, but.
I'll just sip my water over
here. Oh, no! Same!
No. My parents were really super supportive, but there are a couple of times I remember, like, sports games, they didn't show up. I'm going to throw my dad under the bus. I feel so bad. I'm so sorry. My dad's, like, my best friend. But he was the head coach of one of my sister's, like, sports teams. Mm-hmm. And it was, like, a struggle to get him to one of my games because it was just his work schedule. But, oh, man, clearly I still have a lot of animosity about it. But, yeah, I mean, parents do what they can now that you're the new mom.
I was just going to say, I was the oldest of 5 kids, so there was never enough time for anybody to be everywhere, but hashtag mom guilt is real. My baby is at home right now, and I'm just like, no, I'm just kidding. You can only do so much, you know, but I think the way that this went down was pretty pretty funny. How they got a monopoly on the tickets. And they were like, I am not going to pay $30 to watch my kid dance around as a root beer float.
That was a good line.
You know, I also go into the fact of these people that are watching the live theater and the play on... I'm going to shout out a specific town in L.A., and you know what I'm talking about if you live in L.A., but these people that will buy into anything, if it's hipster and it's
trendy,
raw and it's trendy, I'll drop $100, sure. And yes, I saw that. I totally understand where she's coming from. Look how real that is. I was like, Yes, I know these people.
I know them. I've met them. I've worked with them. They're my neighbors.
Exactly.
I know them all. And Social Mammoth from
Girls. It was great to see her. We had a lot of great cameos this season.
Mm. Oh my gosh, the best.
So many.
Busy Phillips.
Yes, whom I love. We also had, in the play, we had Marseille Martin from Black-ish. She plays one of the daughters on Black-ish, but she was the young girl in the play. She was the lead female in the play, which was great. And speaking of the play, so Titus tries to squelch the dreams of another young actor in order to put himself first. We had what his name was...
Minnie Titus.
Hudson.
Who was exactly a Titus clone. Yes. Similar to the Jacqueline clone that we saw in a couple episodes back. But yeah, it was like, what'd you guys think of seeing like Titus's interaction with the kids?
I think it was exactly how I would expect Titus to be.
Mm-hmm.
That was the thing. Like, I honestly wasn't surprised when he you know, kind of kicked Hudson to the curb and was like, you belong on the wrestling team instead.
Oh, that was tragic.
Oh, it was tragic, but I don't expect anything less from Titus. What I loved was seeing the growth that he made and actually coming to realize his place in that setting.
And of course, Kimmy pushed him to get there, which I really liked.
Definitely. But that happens in real life because Hudson was tall. He was a big kid. So I'm sure people would say, oh, this is what you should do. But really, you know, he was even shy himself. He wanted to be in the background and he had that positive, you know, encouragement to go to the front of the line.
And those riffs, though, man. Kudos. He
could sing, right?
My husband, who doesn't even watch the show, caught me watching some of it. And he was like, oh, he's really good. He's really good, babe.
Good job.
Your husband and baby are probably also listening to you on iTunes.
I hope so. And if they are, they should give us a 5-star rating and a thumbs up.
That's right.
Yes, thanks, honey.
And then you can also catch us on YouTube. Please like, share, and subscribe. And hit us in the comments and let us know what you think.
Please talk to us.
And guys, we're in the live chat right now, too. So if you're on YouTube and you're watching at this moment, let us know your thoughts. Just hop on over. There's a little column there to the right side. Just give us some of your thoughts. Do you agree, disagree? You have questions?
We like our outfits today?
Right?
Outfit change.
Exactly. And then we're back tomorrow with our final wrap-up of season 4 of Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt. We'll be doing some predictions. We'll have some special segments. So you'll love it and you don't want to miss it.
Yep.
So we have, you know, Titus, this play occurs, Kimmy gets to be in the play, Titus becomes the Prince Charming, as he said. And what I loved about this episode was Kimmy says that the time for boys to learn not to be male chauvinist pigs and that, you know, you shouldn't be climbing girls' hair, like the fairy tales say, and you shouldn't be breaking into their homes and forcing the shoes on them is now, basically. Like, we can start with the young people. Mm-hmm. And I thought that was an important message to have.
Mm-hmm.
Lillian and Jacqueline also, you know, they sell all the tickets to everyone but parents.
Right.
And they make their money, and Lillian is ecstatic.
And I love that the kids don't recognize it till the very end, where they're like, who are these people?
I know, that was my favorite. Who are you?
And then Kimmy gets really upset that the parents didn't come. But, you know.
Kimmy, it made me think, is she upset because she doesn't even know where her parents, like, what is her parents'
situation?
Well,
Lisa Kudrow was her mom,
right? Oh, right. But remember, she was like, well, you know, that time my mom was in jail. So it's like her parental situation is a little rocky. So I'm sure, like the kids, she was having a moment as well.
Yeah.
Oh, for sure.
We then go into our final episode, episode 6, Kimmy Meets an Old Friend. We get to see the wrap-up of Artie. We get to see his...
I don't think it's the end, though, because I think the way that this episode transpired and our introduction to his children will hopefully give us more background into their lives if they're in the latter half of season 4. So we meet Busy Phillips' character, who is Artie's...
daughter, Sheba.
Drug-addicted daughter, I guess?
We'll just call her a black sheep.
Okay.
I like that.
Right. However, she did have a necklace with some cocaine inside it. So
it sounds like Lillian at one point probably had one, too, because she recognized it.
Precisely.
Yes.
She knew how to hustle at that bar that that used to be Artie's camp.
Yeah,
like she knew. She's like, take it and spread it around.
That private club, yeah.
Which I think is amazing because my husband's dad pretty much did anything under the sun for a long. He was a hippie, whatever. Yeah. So he's tried everything. And it's funny he sat him down when they were having like the talk or whatever, and not the talk, but talking about drugs and things like that in high school, and basically pulled him aside and he was like, look. Whatever you're going to try, I've already done it. So I'm going to spot it. I'm going to know you're doing it, whatever. Come to me first. Right. And I was like, oh, okay, that's kind of cool. So I kind of love that Lillian has been around the block. Yes. And she's wiser than I feel like people give her credit for.
Definitely. You know? Definitely. And wiser. It just made me realize cocaine has been a theme in the show. Lillian sold Artie's ashes as fake cocaine.
Also, it's a little dark, isn't it?
Yes.
Do these people not recognize that?
Oh, my gosh. Well, we'll talk about another dark moment at the end where I was, like, a little bit uncomfortable, but...
Yes.
Okay, yes.
And then Titus had the cocaine nail at the nail salon. She offered it to him to make that one nail longer. Right? And then now... this daughter Sheba with a cocaine necklace. So there's, I guess there's a theme here of cocaine going on.
Tina Fey, what are you trying to say?
Well, exactly. Everybody loves Narcos shows. So I mean, maybe it's going the whole route to that.
Oh, who knows? Also, what if the money that we saw in the briefcase somehow tied to some drug extortion type situation
with puppets?
I mean, the puppet is a shady character.
Hide it in the puppet.
Oh man.
Sorry, just throwing that in there, writers.
Down.
I like the way you think. Mm. I like the way you think. This episode, we also see the return of Xanthippe.
There was a lot in that episode.
Yeah. There's a lot happening. She thinks she's pregnant by a gentleman named Cap Tylenol. Which I found interesting because I love the part how when she and Jacqueline were talking, Xan said that her mother would actually be happy because it would be a wealthy guy.
Oh, yeah.
So, I mean, that does happen sometimes. Like, people are like, okay, as long as he's got money, you'll be good.
Well, even Jacqueline's ears perked up a little bit.
She did. I think it was a return to the old way she used to think.
Right. Yeah, and I thought that was probably one of the most redeeming moments of Jacqueline, seeing how she realized Xan came to her because she really needed her. And then the best part of that entire episode was when they go into the boys' dorm room.
Yes.
And they just ridicule the boys. And they're like, tell everyone, all your little boyfriends, why you ended things with Xan.
Right.
Like, you didn't break up with her.
Exactly.
Like, she isn't a slut.
Tell the truth, finally.
Tell the truth.
Yeah.
And I was like, go Jacqueline.
Yes, and then they trashed that room. The part that hurt was when they threw the pizza on the floor. That hurt.
Right. They did grab a piece, though.
That's true.
They did get one to go, which does sound really good right now.
I know.
And she looked real good again. I'm going to just say that again.
Jacqueline.
All of them.
Yeah. Jacqueline, her outfit, those leather pant jean things or whatever she was wearing, I was like, get it, girl.
Flawless.
Maybe I think I just have body envy right now.
No.
After having a baby.
Look, you're gorgeous. You're
well.
You've had a child. Some of us have gained weight and we have no excuses.
And we're all gorgeous.
We
indeed.
Are beautiful.
That's right. And that's one of the themes, speaking about that self-acceptance. Kimmy has the return of this old friend, her Jan Sport backpack.
Oh, I love this character.
Man, I'm a little creeped out by it.
Oh, I thought you were so cute.
The fact that it talks and had arms and
moves. I don't know. I don't know if this is the moment you were talking about, but I was slightly disturbed when Kimmy was murdering the backpack.
Yes, I was too.
Is that the dark part you're talking about?
I was so uncomfortable watching it. I was like, yo, where is this going?
What's happening?
Save this backpack. Somebody help her.
Slowly picking up a rock and putting it in the backpack.
Yeah.
It
made me super uncomfortable. I was like, oh my gosh, is she actually going to go through with this?
I know.
I'm really glad that it
didn't happen. An episode of Law and Order, throwing it into the Hudson River.
Yes.
It's like, where's Olivia Benson? Something's going to happen.
But crazy things always happen by the water. Isn't that where, Titus washed up ashore? So
With Jacqueline.
Yes, crazy things always happen in that spot. But fortunately, the JanSport backpack, which, if you grew up in the 90s, I
wanted one of those so
bad. In New York.
They were too expensive.
If you didn't have a JanSport backpack starting school, you were nothing. It was, and it wasn't it wasn't super, super expensive, right. but to have the JanSport name was important. And
you
it
were
just,
nothing.
Yes. We also had L.L. Bean, where you could get it monogrammed.
L.L. Bean happened a lot in the South.
Yes, in the South when I moved to Virginia.
JanSport was cool up until a certain grade, and then you had to the L.L. Bean with the monogram. If you didn't have the monogram, you weren't cool either.
Yeah, it's a, you know.
Oh, boy.
But
I never got one.
So Kimmy does not. Soon, there's still time. There's a return.
I can get one like Kimmy's.
Exactly.
I would love her dearly. We could go on adventures all the time.
Yes. Wait, but actually, that was a really interesting moment when she found her backpack.
I was like, with why is one she of in the school?
With one of the kids had the backpack, and she had some, like, blue, more sporty boy backpack.
Right.
And they swapped, and I thought that was super.
But I was like, was that a strip club?
It made me think, why, Kimmy, why are you in this school with the kids with your own backpack on? I'm like, is this, why was she, it just, did it make sense to you guys?
She never graduated from college, so maybe she was
starting. And also, like, I feel like that she doesn't, she lost her backpack, and I feel like that was, like, a part of her identity.
Very much so. You know what I mean? 100%.
So I think she had to kind of get something to fill that void. And she doesn't go anywhere without it. What I did love was all of that mini, mini bite-sized candy that she pulled out, poured out of her backpack. I was like, that looks like a backpack I would have.
Exactly.
There's no wallet. There's no lipstick. No, you don't need nothing. Just candy.
What I love about the backpack situation is that Kimmy says something that we thought we'd never hear from her. She says, I've grown up. That's what she tells the backpack. And it was an interesting moment because we always see her as like this childlike character who doesn't even know that 9/11 happened because Titus doesn't even want to tell her because, you know, she has such a simple mind. But she says, if I want to change the world, I've got to start by changing myself. And as women.
How profound.
I mean, deep, right? Mm-hmm. And, you know, as I just celebrated a birthday and it was, it's a time
happy belated birthday.
And it was a time, you know, birthdays are a time, it's like our official New Year for ourselves, and it made me reflect and think how I have changed and grown as an individual myself. So to see Kimmy growing as well, I was like, kudos to you, sister.
Did you get rid of your JanSport?
I never had a JanSport.
I think that another moment where we sorry, I totally just cut you off.
No, it's okay.
You want to reminisce
no more JanSport talk, but I think
no, we're good.
We may all end up with
if you have backpack. One, send it my way.
Look, I did have a JanSport and I hated it.
Dang,
there were not any pockets. So then I upgraded to the L.L. Bean one and North Face, and like I went through way too many backpacks and there are so many more pockets, which, you know, you can store gum or pencils.
Either way,
I was going to say Kimmy showed so much growth, and I think we touched on this briefly, but when she met that guy in episode 4, turns out he was married, and she totally called him out for it. And I was like, go girl.
But did you think it was hypocritical because technically she was married as well? I mean, and it was an interesting moment because I've been dating online, and there are men who say separated, you know, yes, there are men with 2-year-old children on these sites. And it's like, okay, should we now start thinking that there's different levels to marriage? Like, or is it once you hear the word married, that's it? Or is there certain situations like, hey, remember when Brad and Angelina met? Technically, he was still married, but were they separated? Does that make the person like fair game? So what do you guys think?
That hurts.
I think that
as the married woman,
go ahead first, and then we'll.
Oh no, because I do not have the relationship advice or like experience nearly.
Well, the only thing that I would say to that as a married person in the room is that you know, you never know what's going on inside a relationship,
right?
Mm-hmm. You never know someone's situation. So, on the one hand, I would say that like okay. Separated means a lot of things.
Right.
Could mean, hey, we're working on things, we're not working on things, mm-hmm. we're waiting on the paperwork to be filed.
Right.
It takes a long time to get divorced, y'all.
True.
Like that's what I'm saying. So a lot of times people say separated because they're not technically divorced, but they've got like a countdown on their phone going like, okay, 10 more days until I'm officially divorced.
Right.
So in that I can see where there's a gray area. For me personally, like until it's like the ink's dry on the paperwork, I would not even go there.
Because you know what happens? The wife ends up calling all the time. The baby mama calls you.
Oh my gosh, does that happen to you?
we will not discuss it. We're going to talk about Kimmy Schmidt here.
Yeah.
Kimmy Schmidt. Kimmy.
But I'm saying, too, that, like, the situation with Dan, you're talking about Kimmy.
Yeah.
Kimmy being married. Now, and
I don't think that's the same
thing. No, her situation, I don't think that that's hypocritical at all. I don't think that there was any relationship there at all. I think she was completely... You know,
forced into a marriage.
Brainwashed.
Totally. Totally.
And so she's free to see whoever she wants. This is just, that to me, that's just like a technicality.
And it speaks to just pop culture because, you know, like we see these celebrities who are married and then we see them with someone else and we're like, ooh, you're a bad person. But like you said, we don't know what's going on inside that marriage. And
these
men thought Kimmy was like the ride or die wife to the reverend from the outside looking in, but they didn't know how much he tortured her.
Yeah.
Well, I think that Danford, thank you, made his situation very clear when he was like, you know, I just come here, have fun, weekend, the wife doesn't have to know, and then I head back home, and then he has a dog with her, and that's evident that he's cheating on his wife.
Well, yeah, that guy should be kicked to the curb.
Right, yes. Full circle, awesome job, Kimmy, for standing up for herself and for other women in the room.
Definitely.
So, yeah.
So, Dan was here. Danford was spitting game to Kimmy. We've got some other, you know, game and quotes that we liked this season on the show. Mm. So, we'll go into a little special segment we'll call Kimmy Quotes.
Oh, I like that.
Yes. one of the quotes that I liked was, let's see, unlike with Kennedy, we'll never know why MTV replaced her as a VJ. That was Lillian. Now, for me, who used to watch a lot of MTV in the 90s, and for those who don't know, Kennedy was a VJ on MTV who suddenly disappeared. So the fact they fired her and no one knew why. Oh. So the fact that Lillian, you know, and the writers decided to put this in as a joke, and like for people like me, I was like, you guys get me. You guys
get me.
Now Kennedy's going to resurface on Instagram all of a sudden, blow up in this show, in this one cameo of her name.
Oh, but you know what? We also had a AfterBuzz connection to one of the quotes, actually, with our own Maria Menounos.
Right. Yes. Yes, the Reverend references.
Yes.
FYI, my fantasy bunker, Copperfield era, Claudia Schiffer, two Maria Menounoses, and one of them, pomegranate juice bottles. Bam, bam, boom, bam. Did I say that right?
Yes, you did. Perfect. Perfect.
Bam,
perfect.
Bam, bam. There we go.
I can't say that he's wrong. I mean,
yeah, Maria.
One Maria Menounos is like amazing. Can you imagine two?
Hey,
right?
And she's a Gemini, so there are two sides.
Ah.
Oh. Birthday twin.
And
happy birthday,
such
Maria.
A badass. She's amazing. And I can say that. I'm so sorry. I'm going to say it anyway. She is. She's amazing. So thank you, Maria, for
all
that you do.
Shout out, Maria. I mean, you've made it when you're referenced in Kimmy Schmidt.
Yeah. When you're referenced at all in general, someone referenced me.
Yeah.
Will you reference it?
I know, right?
It's coming soon. Laura, did you have a favorite quote?
Mine's not necessarily a quote, but mine is a moment, Titus moment.
Yes.
When Kimmy storms in and she's all in a tizzy. I can't even remember exactly what she was in a tizzy about, but he immediately wants to make it about him in the play.
Oh, yeah.
And she goes, you can't make it about you that fast. And he whips out one of those like little mini timers, like little plastic timers, and he was like, all right, go. I just thought that was so very Titus. So I was like,
Titus.
Of course you have a, like a little timer that's what, all of 60 seconds?
Exactly.
Maybe? I don't know. I just thought that was cute.
Caroline, any favorite quotes?
There was one moment when Kimmy, and I thought this was very full circle given the writers on this show and the creators of The Office and just the whole SNL world, when she says, excuse me. And that's a very, very common phrase used by Mindy Lahiri from The Mindy Project.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
So Kimmy, so really Ellie Kemper, and then Mindy Kaling were starred together on The Office. And then they've all like, you know, in that SNL New York family. And so I just thought that was a cute little reference to her.
Definitely. I feel like seeing all these strong female characters and also seeing these characters stand up for themselves and have so much growth is what we saw as the overall theme. We saw a lot of isms this season.
Yeah.
We saw sexism, ageism, racism, you know, all these topics that are currently, you know, affecting our daily environment. So to see this show in a comedic way tackle them and show the growth and how you can learn from other people's experiences was great, and I really loved that. we're wrapping up, guys.
Oh, I have one more thing, though, that I really enjoyed. With the growth of Titus, with being able to pitch his show. Like, did anyone else think that that was amazing? Yes. Because that's, like, a huge, huge deal.
He didn't really... He pitched Kimmy's book.
Right. But he went into a meeting.
Yeah, that's true.
And then the book... Like, he gets something else from it, which could also tie into the movie, or said movie, or season.
Project, yeah.
Second half of the season. Mm-hmm. And also, the book and the little boy being such a boss and sitting there being like, no, what? Really? I love it. I was like, yes, you are a future CEO, sir.
Yes. But like, didn't you say earlier that, you know, it shows that where people are able to do things on their own now, you don't have to wait. So this little boy sounded like Kimmy's like a writing partner
She
now.
Gets that backpack back on and actually, this happened. I was like, ooh.
I just thought that was really cute, and also showing how, you know, they're really, it depends on how you, I think, kids are raised. Mm. And if you are raised with the notion that men and women are equals, then the future in this little boy is going to be very bright.
Yeah. That's right. That's right. You know, we see Lillian become the person managing Sheba's money.
Ooh,
you know, Titus gets this opportunity to work on a project, the second project that Katherine Heigl, you know, the second comeback for Katherine Heigl, which I thought was funny.
Straight to cancel.
Except poor thing. And, you know, Kimmy is also a writer as well. You know, she finally found a reason to write a book for Random House.
And Jacqueline has her nice moment with Zan.
Yes.
And the company.
Exactly. And, you know, now she's a boss now. She's got an assistant. So everyone kind of had their full circle moment. So it'd be interesting to see where they go from here.
It's been a nice pause.
Yes.
It doesn't feel like a finale, but it was a nice pause.
Yes.
So I was like, okay.
But we don't know where they're going. But if you want to know where they're going, you can watch us tomorrow, same time, because we're doing all predictions tomorrow for this next final season of The Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt, season 4. Thank you for watching us today. Yes. My name is Sahai, and you can find me at Say Hi Sahai. And Candace, where can they find you?
You guys can find me everywhere on social media at Candace R. Cruz.
Yay. And I'm Laura L. Thomas. You can find me at Laura L. Thomas TV.
And I'm Caroline Thayer, and you can find me at Caroline J. Thayer. Thanks for watching, guys.
Thank you, guys. Bye. Check us out tomorrow.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later!
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.